Honorable Madam Speaker, colleagues, honorable members, my fellow St. Lucians. Madam Speaker, please now allow me to acknowledge the fact that my very presence in this honorable house is due to my people, the people of my constituency, the people of the constituency of Ancillary Canneries. I salute my people of the Ancillary Canneries constituency. I thank them for the honor which they have bestowed upon me and the trust in which they have placed in me. I pledge to represent them in the most honorable way. Madam Speaker, the foreign areas lie within the parameters of my ministry, the Ministry of Home Affairs and National Security, the Royal St. Lucia Police Force, the Bodley Correctional Facility, the St. Lucia Fire Service. Madam Speaker, when we speak of the police, and when we speak of the Bodley Correctional Facility, and to a lesser extent, the fire department, we speak of crime. Crime is a major area of concern with regard to the Ministry of Home Affairs and National Security. Madam Speaker, you will agree when I say that the challenges that face my ministry are tremendous. Tremendous indeed, Madam Speaker, is the challenge to reverse the rising incidence of crime and violence in our midst. Madam Speaker, what makes our situation even more grave is the fact that the previous administration was unable to make any significant impact with regard to the stemming tide of crime. Madam Speaker, the previous administration made a mockery of good governance. They talked the talk, but they just couldn't walk the walk. All they would expect was the wasting of resources of this beautiful country of ours. So will we call them waste experts. Madam Speaker, I am advised that over the last 9 years, consultations upon consultations was held within every major economic and social partner in this country. Perspectives were presented to the government, but nothing positive came out of these consultations. Madam Speaker, this speaks a lot to the wants and wish of the meager resources of this country. And this, Madam Speaker, is about poor governance. Madam Speaker, was the previous administration afraid to act? Was this country run on wheels by a bunch of handicapped who talked the talk, but just couldn't walk the walk? Perhaps, Madam Speaker, they were ashamed of the findings of the consultation. Did they not want the St. Lucian public to realize that they were not taking care of the nation's business? And, Madam Speaker, it is for not taking care of the nation's business that they sit on the opposite side. On the opposite side, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, you will recall that in October 2006, a symposium on crime was held. It was shocking that the outcome of such an important exercise was embargoed by the previous administration. And Madam Speaker, not even of such great national significance was this broadcast live. In fact, Madam Speaker, it was not broadcast at all. Madam Speaker, the issue of crime is a national issue. It is a serious issue, and it's everybody's business. A symposium on crime is the business of all St. Lucians and should not have been aired. Yet, Madam Speaker, the previous administration saw it extremely fit to broadcast their public meetings during the last election campaign. What a blatant display of arrogance. What a superb manifestation of poor quality vision. Madam Speaker, That is why today they warm the chairs on the opposite side. And I can assure them, Madam Speaker, they will be warming these chairs for a very long time. Madam Speaker, during the period 1997 to 2003, a number of consultancies were commissioned to look into the police force. The major findings were as follows: lack of clear vision with regard to management and operational style of the police force, outdated working practices, poor management information systems. How did the previous administration respond, Madam Speaker? They provided more vehicles, more policemen, more police stations, more and more and more. Madam Speaker, we do not merely need quantitative changes. We also need qualitative changes. The previous administration did not understand, Madam Speaker, that an administration that simply talked the talk will not understand anything about qualitative changes. Madam Speaker, our police officers are humane. There are underlying issues that affect the performance and therefore the efficiency of the force. We cannot upgrade the police force by simply providing more vehicles, more training, more police stations, and so on. What about the morale of the police officers, Madam Speaker? What about those intangibles that affect the performance of our police? There are issues affecting the police force that are beneath the surface and that require expert investigation and research. Madam Speaker, this administration, the government of the United Workers' Party, understands and appreciates the dire need to look into the very framework of policing and into the quality of interaction that constitutes the structure of the police force. This administration, Madam Speaker, is an administration of depth, an administration of sensitivity, an administration of vision. As you will infer, Madam Speaker, the previous administration lacked these noble qualities. But what they did not lack, Madam Speaker, was the emergency shelter mentality. This is the mentality that this large administration has, a shelter, an emergency shelter mentality. Madam Speaker, the previous administration was just a mere shelter administration, an emergency shelter administration. Some of the programs which they engaged in, for example, STEP program, National Crime Commission, Poverty Reduction Fund, NSDC, Bell Fund, all emergency centers.
Honorable.
No clear vision.
Honorable member for Supre, I'd like to point of order. Another point of order.
What point of order, Madam Speaker? I rise on the point of order.
Yes.
I have no intention, Madam Speaker, to advise you or tell you how you should run this honorable house. But I'm just a bit particular about 3211 and its application right here today.
Okay, so 3211 refers to the
member shall not read his speech, but he may read extracts from written or printed papers or books in support of his cabinet and may refresh his memory by reference to notes.
I am aware that this rule exists, but I am also aware that in recent times in this parliament this rule has been relaxed. Not in this session, in previous parliaments, this rule has indeed been relaxed, and there have been members in previous parliaments who read for most part, if not all, of their speeches. In addition to that, I am also aware, and I'm guided by May's parliamentary procedure, that when there are matters of importance on specific subject areas, in order to be precise, a minister may want to read spread his speech in a way that is more than usual. So for that reason, I will not allow the point of order to stand. I will allow the minister to continue.
Madam Speaker, I am pleased.
Honourable members, I have given my ruling on this issue. I do not expect the Honourable Minister to be interrupted any further on this point of order. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the message is driving home, Madam Speaker. It is driving home, and I'm thankful. Madam Speaker, this emergency shelter approach, this, Madam Speaker, led to the social instability that breeds crime. Please allow me to explain. The previous administration failed to strengthen the already existing social institutions such as the Massad Boys School, the Uptown Girls Garden, the National Research Development Fund, and so on. Instead, they superimposed a new set of structures without being clear about how these new structures connected with the old. These new structures are indeed the aforementioned emergency shelters, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, by not strengthening already existing social institutions, the previous administration set the stage for social instability, a condition that breeds criminal activity. Madam Speaker, the previous administration did not understand that the strength of a society lies in the strength of its social institutions. The previous administration was experimenting with this society, and they made a mistake. Madam Speaker, governance is about strengthening and making the best use of what we have. It is not about simply setting up institutions all over the place, like this previous government did. The society is not to be played with, and when you play around with society, you cause instability, which leads to chaos and crime. Madam Speaker, I hope our students on the opposite side are paying careful attention to this lesson on good governance. Madam Speaker, a new prison facility was built, but focuses all around, the focus was about rehabilitation. The focus should not have been on developing programs to keep offenders away from the criminal lifestyle. But no, the emergency shelter philosophy was in full swing. The whole idea was to set up something that gave the impression that the government was serious about crime. Impressions, Madam Speaker, all about impressions. Impressions were not good enough for the people of St. Lucia, and they fought back on the 11th of December. Let's take a look at the National Crime Commission set up by the previous administration, but not given the capacity to act as it should. The National Crime Commission was yet another emergency shelter, Madam Speaker, set up to create false impression that crime was given serious consideration. Madam Speaker, how can a National Crime Commission do its job effectively when the real wounds of the police force are not even acknowledged, far less dealt with? How can a National Crime Commission function effectively when no clear statement on how the commission should relate to other government sectors was made? But Madam Speaker, we should not be surprised, because this is in fact the modus operandi of an emergency shelter government. An emergency shelter government is not serious about anything except the act of bluffing. An emergency shelter philosophy is about painting over the walls of a building despite the fact that the walls are cracking and the foundation very weak. Madam Speaker, this is the reason they should simply provide more police stations. This is the reason they provided more police stations, more vehicles, more policemen, without attempting to look into the framework of policing. The emergency shelter mentality can only be described as one whereby strategy would be simply plastering the wounds rather than attempting to cure the wounds. And Madam Speaker, an emergency shelter administration is about poor governance. It is about a reactive approach rather than a proactive approach. And it's about failing to plan for long term. And this, Madam Speaker, was the problem with the last administration. Madam Speaker, my ministry acknowledges the fact that there are wounds in the police force. There are wounds in the justice system, and there are wounds in education. There are wounds in our health system, and there are wounds in our families and in our communities. There are many wounds to be taken care of in this country, Madam Speaker. We cannot simply plaster up those wounds. And Madam Speaker, when we speak of wounds, we cannot speak of an emergency shelter approach. We need to understand the roots of these wounds so we can attempt to cure them. We need to focus upon research. Madam Speaker, we have made provision for a statistical as well as a quantitative function on the trends towards police activities, crime, and so forth. This is of extreme importance, Madam Speaker. In this ministry, we in this ministry cannot do much about crime if we do not engage in research that will allow us to understand crime. We must understand the trend crime takes, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, research ensures information, intervention. Research provides the basis for the development of a vision or framework which regards the crime fighting. Madam Speaker, informed decisions mean that we do not waste the resources of this country. Informed decisions guarantee positive results. Currently, Madam Speaker, my ministry does not have the capacity to conduct research into important areas such as policing and crime. This cannot be allowed to continue, as this was part of the legacy of an emergency shelter administration. Madam Speaker, the previous administration paid no serious attention to research because the previous government was an emergency shelter administration. This, Madam Speaker, the government of the United Workers Party is a government committed to good governance. The government of the United Workers Party is a government of effective but sustainable action. This government is committed to a holistic approach to crime. We walk the walk. We do not simply talk the talk. Madam Speaker, since the ugly face of crime has exposed itself, the police force has been under immense fire. The Royal St. Lucia Police Force has been labeled as inefficient, indisciplined, and so on. Madam Speaker, we are aware that the police force, like all other institutions in this country, is far from perfect. My ministry, the Ministry of Home Affairs and Internal Security, intends to vigorously attend to the deficiencies of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force. Madam Speaker, while we move towards improving the Royal St. Lucia Police Force, we would like this Honorable House to note that the causes of crime extend beyond the parameters of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force. Crime is a sociological issue. I want to draw the attention to this Honorable House to a 1994 national survey on the discipline in St. Lucia. This study revealed that parental upbringing and frustration were perceived as the main causes of indiscipline in St. Lucia. 84% of the respondents attributed this indiscipline to parental upbringing, while 82% attributed it to frustration. It is worthy to note that the study concluded that the state of the family in St. Lucia was a serious cause of concern. The degree to which the family was performing its role as an agent of socialization was questioned. Serious concern was expressed with regard to the increasing incidence of single teenage mothers. Apart from poor parenting and frustration, other factors identified by the study as causing indiscipline were as follows: the lack of religious values, the desire for wealth, unemployment, the lack of role models, and selfishness. You see, Madam Speaker, crime can be regarded as a form of indiscipline. The major response, therefore, must be sociological. My ministry, the Ministry of Home Affairs and Internal Security, will do its part. My ministry will ensure that we understand the roots of the problem that affect the police and deal with these problems in the best possible manner. Our commitment towards the enhancement of the police force will be reflected by the figures. Madam Speaker, total expenditure towards the police moved from $36 million for the period 2005 to 2006. It moved to $41 million for the period 2006 to 2007. And Madam Speaker, for the period 2007 to 2008, expenditure allocations to the police stand at $45 million, an increase of over $4 million over the previous financial period. Madam Speaker, we are not, however, simply putting more money into the police force. We are also changing our strategies and our approaches. Please allow me to present a picture of what we have been able to achieve since we assumed office on December 2006. You will notice, Madam Speaker, there has been an increased visibility. More police officers are present on our streets, particularly in the areas known as hotspots for crime or sale of crime. A number of high visibility sweeps have been undertaken in the ghetto areas of Castries, Beaufort, and other areas to drive out the gangs and bring to account those responsible for violent crime. There has also been a greater presence of traffic vehicles on the road and a higher presence of stops, which have made and ticketed many more people who have been violating the traffic offenses. Madam Speaker, we intend to put night courts in action because too many times, Madam Speaker, we, the traffic officers, are not available during the day to do what they should be doing on the streets of St. Lucia because they are tied up in the court looking after petty little tickets and petty little offenses. Promotions in the force, Madam Speaker, is one of the other things that we have to look at. If the force cannot, promotions in the force cannot continue arbitrarily or on an ad hoc basis, Madam Speaker. The new promotion regulations have been operationalized and await formal ratification. This is long overdue, Madam Speaker, as the ad hoc manner in which our police officers were being promoted has had a destructive impact on performance. Madam Speaker, it is just a little over 3 months since we have assumed office, and we have been able to take action. We have been able to walk the walk. We have been able to achieve some stability with regard to the rate of crime. Madam Speaker, allow me at this point to paint a picture of some of the strategies we intend to adopt over the next 3 to 5 years. Madam Speaker, one of our major incentives is the development of an island-wide community policing policy. That builds on community engagement to enhance the effective involvement of community in crime reduction. We hope that this strategy will improve the quality of interaction between the police and the community. Madam Speaker, this is extremely important. Our police officers will perform at optimal level if the relationship between the police and the population that they serve is desirable. It is imperative that we deal with this as swiftly as possible. We also want to introduce an enormous Crime Stoppers line across this island. This has worked, Madam Speaker, in many countries, and we hope that it will be as effective in our little St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, we recognize that a significant proportion of their criminal activities occur after block holes and dispatches. What we intend to do, Madam Speaker, is to arrange that a permit be accepted and be bought for these promoters who are promoting these activities. And they will have to assure us that they will will provide the necessary security that is necessary after these things. Because, Madam Speaker, if you look at the record time and time again, you find that after such activities, our young people are engaged in wounding each other and fighting. Rules must be followed. We need recreation, but we must be disciplined about our recreation activities, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we are the leaders of this country. We need to lay down the rules for our young people. There is what we call good governance. That is what good governance is all about. It's about walking the walk, not talking the talk. Madam Speaker, we will engage in strengthening our systems in order to ensure greater coordination and efficiency of policing. The communication system, for example, needs urgent attention. Currently, there is no effective means of communication by radio or what we call walkie-talkie between police officers from starting from one street to the next. The communication system that we will implement will be linked to other key agencies such as the fire and emergency services, medical services, and the National Emergency Management Office. The other system, Madam Speaker, that requires strengthening is fleet management. Madam Speaker, this last government purchased a number of vehicles. In the past, these vehicles spent a very long time in these garages before they could be repaired. And Madam Speaker, what we intend to do, my ministry intends to divide the island in two, the northern section and the southern section. From Denry, Miku, Beaufort, Labrish, Fozelle, Sufre, vehicles that are damaged in this area will be serviced in Beaufort to the south. And anything above will be serviced in the northern garage. We intend relocating this garage from from Latok and shifting the northern garage up into BZ or into the Union area. Madam Speaker, we need to manage the media much more effectively. We refer to both the local as well as the international media. Effective management of the media is imperative, since tourism is one of our main industries. Our crime strategy will be revised. Our crime strategy must target those crimes that are of greatest concern to the public. The structural issues of the force must be resolved. We refer to the planning capability of the force, the strengthening of the executive level and top team of the force. The commissioner will be allowed more flexibility in the management of the force, particularly in the budget. Madam Speaker, with this initiative, we will be moving towards the establishment of a police force that will be regarded as the best in its class across CARICOM. A police force that has an enhanced international reputation with regard to law and enforcement. A police force that is responsive and customer-focused. A professional police force. Madam Speaker, I now present the initiatives of my other two departments for the financial period 2007-2008. I now deal with the Borderlo Correctional Facility. Madam Speaker, you will note that we speak of a correctional facility. High on our agenda, therefore, is the training of inmates so that they become more productive citizens. Madam Speaker, today, the Borderlo Correctional Facility has embarked on a farm development program. We as a government will expand on this by training inmates in the rudiments of crop and livestock production, as well as in land resource management. For producing food for consumption at the facility and sale of excess to generate revenue. To develop a farm that will serve as a model for persons with a desire to venture into farming. Madam Speaker, with regard to farm development program, phase one has been completed. A piggery has been completed in operation. Crops like cabbages, corn, cucumbers, etc. have already been harvested for consumption at the Bordeaux and for sale at the public, for, to the public. Madam Speaker, I visited this institution. We saw a number of inmates bored, a number of inmates complaining about the consistency in the food. It was basically a diet of rice, green bananas. And Madam Speaker, if such inmates require anything other than that, Madam Speaker, a dashing, a young Madam Speaker, we know the price by the market. A government cannot afford this kind of price. So this is why, Madam Speaker, we feel that if they grow it themselves, they will be able to have a change. And I said to them, Madam Speaker, that they are not at the halcyon days or sandals. And if they have a restaurant that is too comfortable, Madam Speaker, and tasty, they will want to come back too often. So, Madam Speaker, we are engaging them in something productive. Madam Speaker, we are going to implement phase two to the farm development program. Phase two will include the construction of an abattoir, the construction of a poultry pen, construction of nursery and other plant production. And we are going to go into irrigation because, Madam Speaker, you know the location is very dry and we need some form of irrigation. Madam Speaker, the farm development program is not only training, it's not the only training program available at Bordeaux. With assistance from the Basic Needs Fund and the Caribbean Development Bank, inmates are being trained in tailoring and carpentry. And Madam Speaker, we are making allowance in this budget to provide them with the machinery so that they can proceed in this direction. We also have a small engine program, repair program, which is also in place. To date, 30 inmates have graduated from this program. At least one third of these inmates are employed using their newly acquired skills. Madam Speaker, allow me to commend Mr. Nicholas Sinclair, who is facilitating this program on a voluntary basis. Madam Speaker, let me speak a little bit about our fire service. We are providing them, Madam Speaker, with the necessary tools to do a good job. We have improved on the machinery that is required to fight fires. We have improved on some of the facilities. We will continue to do this. We have also improved on the training grounds. We have had now, Madam Speaker, a temporary place in Beaufort whereby we are training firemen, but this is not the ideal. We need something more permanent and something where the full scope of firefighting can be trained. Madam Speaker, one of the things lacking is forensic firefighting. Presently, Madam Speaker, we have no one in the fire department who can enter a burning premise or after and tell us where this fire started. Did it start from a cigarette? Did it start from a lighter? Did it start from fuel? Madam Speaker, we had four such good people leaving St. Lucia for training. But because they had to pay their own way, they stayed on greener pasture. My ministry will see to it that this government provide us all the necessary expenses to train such a person. Madam Speaker, I want to speak a little bit about my constituency. But before I do this, Madam Speaker, I want to let you know that the members on the opposite side said that crime was everyone's business, and he thought that this is everyone's business. Madam Speaker, my constituency, the constituency of Ansari Canary, this constituency starts from Roseau. And as you go eastward interiorly, it encompasses communities like Jacmel, Wadem, Monsizo, Mondo, Vanna, Durando, Bokon, Venus, Tetchine. As we go westward, Madam Speaker, You have ancillary. You have Aslagaby. You have Canary. And you have Delphi there. Madam Speaker, this is about one third of this island, approximately. And Madam Speaker, within this community, we have two villages, the village of Ancillary and the village of Canary. And Madam Speaker, record shows that these are the two poorest villages on this island. Madam Speaker, it is mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling to find out that the most beautiful section of St. Lucia has the two poorest villages. What is the answer? Simple, Madam Speaker. The representation in the past did not do their job. They were ill-represented, Madam Speaker. Ill-represented, Madam Speaker, to the point whereby a high school was supposed to be placed between Ancillary and Canary for the people of Canary mostly. Because, Madam Speaker, today the children of Ancillary pay the most to receive high school education via transportation. Also, Madam Speaker, it is a burden on the families of these children. But what happened, Madam Speaker? This previous government took this school, Madam Speaker, and placed it in Marigold, and trying to fool the people in the constituency of Ancillary Canary, saying that this was in Ancillary Canary. And Madam Speaker, do you know the representative was trying to tell the people of Canary and Ancillary that it was right, it is in their constituency? Madam Speaker, this is things I heard. Madam Speaker, when you look at the neglect that this last administration had on this constituency, you will understand why the constituency, the two villages, are the poorest villages. But Madam Speaker, they are beautiful people. They are humble people. Madam Speaker, they were taken advantage on the last administration. They were ill represented. Madam Speaker, we have a government today that is visionary. This budget, Madam Speaker, addresses a lot of the problems that the people of my constituency suffer. This budget, Madam Speaker, by the mere division of the island into sectors of development, tells you that the Prime Minister is thinking about the people of this constituency. And I was very pleased, Madam Speaker, to hear him mention Hetchiman 3 times. Madam Speaker, since after this, I went to the constituency. And Madam Speaker, if this Prime Minister goes up to Hetchiman, he will never walk. He will be carried. Because never before, Madam Speaker, have we ever heard in the last 10 years that this government, who the representative was from their party, ever mentioned Hetchiman Palace and Slurry. The only thing, Madam Speaker, they said is Fish Friday. That's all they know about Sanctuary. Madam Speaker, I'm pleased to hear that my government, the government of the United Workers' Party, have decided to change the poverty in this constituency. Madam Speaker, the constituency has a percentage of 45% of people poor or underprivileged. 45%, Madam Speaker, just about, approximately 45%. And this, Madam Speaker, has been with them for a very long time. And the last government, Madam Speaker, never addressed it. They have been on the top of the poverty line, just about. And no one from the previous government saw it fitting to change the condition or the lives of these people, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I will start from Roseau, and I will show you neglect from the last government of this constituency. And I tell the people of my constituency, change is ahead. Madam Speaker, there is a small community called Roseau. Roseau comprises of about 200 people. And Madam Speaker, the house is there. In the year 2006, does not have a running water or a toilet. No one in these houses have a toilet or running water. Madam Speaker, the external toilet is 4 toilets. The bath for 200 people One for men, one for women. And Madam Speaker, they are not being mapped, men and women. Sometimes both of them clash in each other, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, what is worse, Madam Speaker, is that this community stayed for over a year and a half with these toilets not functioning with a representative from the Labour Party, Madam Speaker. A year and a half, Madam Speaker. These people did what defecated on the bananas in plastic bags, Madam Speaker, and no sensitivity from the representatives in this area. What are you going to do, Madam Speaker? And I'm asking my government that we need to relocate these houses. This is of the past. This is not worth living in. And I will ask the Minister of Housing and Urban Affairs that we will get land not too far away, and we will move the houses. We will build low-cost housing for these people to give them decency. And also, Madam Speaker, where these houses are presently located, I will have an arcade being built. So these people can enjoy some form of life and some form of respect and dignity. We will introduce carving and souvenir making in this area, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I don't know if the leader of the opposition may recall that Rosa used to be a bustling little village, a bustling little community in the times of sugarcane and in the early days of the banana industry. But Madam Speaker, all this was lost under the Labour Party government. Madam Speaker, as I move my train down to Anslery, the train down to Anslery, Madam Speaker, we have a serious water problem in Anslery. This has been there over the last 9 to 10 years or beyond. Madam Speaker, the reservoir where the water is stored, Madam Speaker, is covered with asbestos. The tanks where the water is stored, Madam Speaker, have been leaking for the last 9 years. Both tanks, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, when it rains, the village is out of water because the water is dirty. There's no filtration system in there. Where the water source comes from, Madam Speaker, we have people bathing above that source. And Madam Speaker, I will give you an incident which happened in Anslery, at the community center in Anslery, whereby the Honorable Member for East Castries was present. The Honourable Member at that time for Minister of Communications and Works, Mr. Finister, was present. The District Representative, Mr. Cyprian Lantico, was present. And I was present, your humble servant. And Madam Speaker, the Member for East Castries came with some statistics, Madam Speaker, trying to fool the people and mamagai the people, telling them that the water, he had records from some scientists that the water was appropriate for drinking. But Madam Speaker, what was funny, he became thirsty while he was speaking, Madam Speaker, when I kept him speaking.
Madam Speaker, I have no recollection of that.
Oh, yeah.
Madam Speaker, I'll draw it to his attention. Madam Speaker, when they became thirsty, they asked for water. I asked them, go into the tap and take the water from the tap. Captain, a follower of the Labour Party, said no, he asked for bottled water, Madam Speaker. He asked for bottled water. This was on the news, Madam Speaker. It was on the news. I got him on the news, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the following day, I went to visit the site, the water source, the site, with VBS, Madam Speaker. With VBS, Madam Speaker. And what we found, Madam Speaker, we found the asbestos sheet sunk into the water source. We found a dead goat, Madam Speaker, in the water source. Madam Speaker, after prolonged pressure from WASCO and the very Honorable Adaka and Minister of Tourism, they decided to fix, to recover the water source. So Madam Speaker, I am pleading to my government, this problem is urgent and needs immediate attention. And I'm hoping that my government can promise the people of Amsbury that they will cure this problem. Madam Speaker, also, I will show you neglect from the previous government. Madam Speaker, as you drive into Amsbury, there's a pungent smell. It smells as you enter. Because, Madam Speaker, we have a playground that the water was stagnated. They attempted to do something right now, Madam Speaker. But presently, as we speak, it is still smelling. The water cannot run. In the last month, Madam Speaker, I took 12 disciplines from my present government to see the problem. The engineer from the Ministry of Communications and Works told us, Madam Speaker, that they will see what may and means that they can have this water running. So, Madam Speaker, we have a water problem in Amsbury. And that also is the same problem in Canneries. Madam Speaker, what I intend to do, Madam Speaker, we will address this. My government, I'm sure, as you heard in the speech from the Prime Minister, that we are very, 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 very sensitive to water. And we know the importance of good drinking water. Madam Speaker, the young children in this community get sick. And our doctors there sometimes are puzzled as to why and what kind of sickness they have. And Madam Speaker, they have addressed it. It's a water problem. That's the only thing they can think of. But good things are ahead for this community, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we want to address the point about tourism. Presently, Madam Speaker, I think that the proximity of Amsbury to Castries, Madam Speaker, Amsbury will be the next Rosalie or the next Rodney Bay. Because, Madam Speaker, the crowding in the north have left people no choice but to move south. I intend to encourage my government to acquire land so we can have a better housing scheme, a low-cost housing scheme, an affordable housing scheme for our young people and the people of Amsbury. Madam Speaker, you see, I believe that if someone does not own something from his country, he feels left out. And this is the problem we have today, Madam Speaker, with our young people. Because housing is unavailable, because they don't feel part of the society, they feel left out. And what happens, Madam Speaker? We lose all these brilliant people to some other country. Madam Speaker, as you know, idle hands create lots of problems. And the playground in Amsbury needs immediate attention. I am asking the Minister of Health that we have a health center right in the midst, just on the outside of the playing field in Amsbury. I will be asking him to swap this health center with the old police station, which is situated in the middle of the village, so we can have a means of the athletes changing their clothes, lockers, and some form of means of having a place whereby they can be comfortable with a little stage whereby the older people can sit and watch the games. Madam Speaker, we tend to forget about our old people. And we know time is on their hands. But when we create these kind of recreational facilities whereby they can come and sit and watch their grandchildren and watch their children play, Madam Speaker, this is a thrill. This government has recognized that vision, Madam Speaker, vision. Madam Speaker, I want to take the two villages of Amsbury Canneries, and we would convert them, and we'll be converting them into heritage villages, Madam Speaker. Heritage villages is something that is catching now, Madam Speaker. If you go across to Martinique, you will see this. And the village of Amsbury Canneries are ideal, because, Madam Speaker, we know, if you have nothing for a tourist to see, he does not come. And this is what happens, Madam Speaker. These two villages, approximately 3,000 tourists go there sometimes on a weekly basis, going to Sufwe, but non-stop in Amsbury or Canneries, because there's nothing to see. Our government will change this.
Honorable Member, you have 10 more minutes within which to complete your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I will move to Cameroon. We intend dredging the mouth, the river mouth, and we intend having it in such a way that it's a nice little recreational place for the people to go. The seafront, we intend putting some footpaths, a few benches, raising the seawall, because Madam Speaker, this seawall is too low. If there's a hurricane or something, this village can just be swept away. Madam Speaker, another thing again in the village, Madam Speaker, what we intend doing, that we intend placing some form of structure whereby we can encourage IT to increase the employment, to check the employment situation in Canada. I intend moving to Belvedere. Belvedere needs a community center. We intend putting a community complex in Canada also. The local Canaries UK Association is going to put up some money, and I'm going to ask my government to match this money so we can put a multi-purpose complex in Canaries. Madam Speaker, Belvedere is beautiful. When you stay in Belvedere, you can see the ocean. And I used to learn from Canada that they said, any time you see the ocean, you must spend $1 million. That means Vancouver. The only place you see the ocean, basically, is Vancouver. So, Madam Speaker, we will develop housing that will be affordable to the people of Canary. We will also develop housing to encourage retirement in Canary, in Belvedere, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Canary was fortunate to have the island's champion soccer team in 2005. And there's a bunch of young men, capable, decent young men. We need to give them something, that they own something in Canary, so they can stay in Canary and develop Canary. Madam Speaker, when we go on to Millet, as the Minister of Agriculture has said, we will be developing the agricultural sector into the Millet area, in the Vanna and this belt, the Roseau belt coming up to Millet Ketchine. As the Minister of Agriculture says, the government will encourage greenhousing. The government will encourage livestock breeding. The government will encourage vegetable growing, Madam Speaker. And also, Madam Speaker, as the Minister of Agriculture says, we will subsidize to an extent the fertilizer and the products which the farmers need to help them farm better. We will address the road system because, Madam Speaker, I'm in close connection with the Minister of Communications and Roads. We realize that transportation between communities is important. I will ask the Minister of Communications that we have a road between Montijo and Mondor. Half of the road is already done. We are asking that this be completed so the two communities can be joined. By so doing, Madam Speaker, we will open up new agricultural areas because presently the people don't plant there because it's too far to carry. Madam Speaker, it is a task. It is a task, but I will say to the people of Anthony Canary that this time we will get where we want to go to. In concluding, Madam Speaker, the task is formidable as we move towards stirring our people, not with all steeped in the philosophy of an emergency shelter approach, but with all steeped with love for humanity, honesty, peace, unity, and justice. I want to assure the good people of St. Lucia that this government is committed to good governance. This government is committed to genuine and balanced development. That is why, Madam Speaker, we aim to adopt a holistic approach to crime. We must engage in a well-coordinated and holistic approach to crime. We recognize that crime is a sociological issue. Research, therefore, will be a critical component of our crime-fighting strategy. And this ministry will be appointing a researcher to help us establish not simply a strong crime-fighting philosophy, but more importantly, a philosophy towards nation-building. Madam Speaker, this government is about nation-building. We are about uniting the theme of this budget to indicate this. Hence the reason, as the representative of ancillary economies, I'm determined to implement various initiatives that will foster improved interaction among the good people of my constituency. I am also determined to uplift the socio-economic status of my people through touristic, manufacturing, and agriculture incentives. Madam Speaker, we are going to walk the walk because we care about our people. We care about this beautiful country of ours. We will attack our problems with depth, with sensitivity, and with vision. I thank you, Madam Speaker.
Honourable Member for Cassidy.